So it's been a while since I've recorded one of these Mike M's Weekly Reads. Hopefully get back on schedule until I at least hit Heroes Con, and then I'll go out of schedule again. But I've been pretty busy with work, either wrapping up stuff because I took a trip back home to surprise mom for Mother's Day, and she was surprised, so I did surprise her. In a good way. So we had a good time and surprised both our moms, except one of our moms expected it because if we surprised her, she would be more stressed out than the Barbara's mom would be more stressed out than think of it as a good surprise, so we didn't surprise her. But went back there and had a quick weekend with a few extra days padded, so this week is a really short work week for me. Came back on Tuesday, drove back, and did some reading over there, but not a lot. What I've been into a lot is watching Umbrella Academy, and I have three more episodes to go. Wait, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I think three episodes left. I think it's a 10-episode season. So I have three to go. I'm on the eighth. Well, maybe four to go. So I a little mo almost four. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And I feel bad because I posted that I didn't like it. I wasn't going to try it after the first episode. I was bored to tears. And actually, what happened is my parents were here. And we all watched the first episode of Umbrella Academy, and we were all bored. We were all kind of get really sleepy, and it sort of put everybody to sleep. But the more I watched it, with every episode, it kind of grew on me, and now I absolutely adore it so much that I am going after all of the comics. That's how much I like it. I never had read any of the Umbrella Academy, and I think this one is based on the Apocalypse storyline, and really, really awesome show. I haven't been this wowed in a while. Well, actually, I've been wowed by a lot of TV. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't. Black Summer was amazing on Netflix. Not related to the comic book by Warren Ellis. This Black Summer was about zombies. It is a prequel to Z Nation, but the quality of it, from what I understand, I never watched Z Nation, but I talked to some people online, friends of mine, Martin, a few others. They said that Z Nation I would like, but it's definitely not the same quality caliber. And, Black Summer is a prequel to Z Nation. So I don't know if I'm going to pursue Z Nation at some point in time. But I've been enjoying watching a lot of Netflix. I haven't watched a lot of regular TV, which means I'm like super behind in all the CW shows and all those shows because I haven't watched anything on the DVR lately except for Modern Family. And I just really liked it. So yesterday, as a matter of fact, maybe it was Tuesday when I got back from the trip, I went online and I paid an arm and a leg. I mean, it is what it is. I found the cheapest deals I could get, and I wanted everything. I wanted all of the Umbrella Academy, and I should have that soon. So I think I'll be. Well, I will be really happy to add that to my collection. While I was gone, I received another Kickstarter. Atlantis wasn't built for tourists. It's by Eric Palicki, and his sister is also wrote a comic, I think, for Black Mask, and she's an actress. She's on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What else has she been in? Friday Night Lights, that's what I know her from. And so he delivered this Kickstarter relatively fast. I'm really impressed thumbing through it. It's like a deluxe edition. It looks like about four issues not quite a trade, but looks beautiful. So that came in. I also had Megaton number 3 come in, and what this is listed as the first full appearance of Savage Dragon. And it's really not true. Well, I guess it is, because there's one before it. If you get Megaton 2, he appears for one whole page in the comic. But what's really special about these Megatons is Eric Larson is drawing them. They have Angel Medina art, a lot of creators that I really like. Vanguard, which I completed his image series, he's in this series. So a lot of the characters that I've known and grown to love are in this series, Megaton. So I picked up 2 and 4. I think that's right, 2 and 4. So I have 2, 3, and 4 of Megaton, but and then a holiday special of Megaton. It is black and white. It's pretty amazing. I was really happy to add those to my collection. So those have been some recent pickups. The next targeted pickup that I'm getting from Reed, which I'll go over more when I get it, is some Conans, some Kulls. Can't remember what else is in there. There's some oddball 90s stuff that I was looking for because I've been going through Advance Comics and said, man, that looks interesting. That looks interesting. And over the break, I read some Anarchy Comics. I don't know if they're called Anarchy Studio, Dr. Faustus, and Neo Necronomicon. Oh no, it's Necromancer, sorry. And I really enjoyed it. The artwork was like awesome. I like Dr. Faustus more than I did the other one. Dr. Faustus was only 2 issues, and me and Bill will be talking about that on Geek Brunch. And so I did read those, and then I read Crazy Man for continuity, and I realized I really need to finish this dead publisher. I need that Neil Adams company. I really enjoyed Crazy Man 1 through 3. I read them, and I thought it was pretty amazing. I'll talk about that in future episodes. And wanted to jump into some questions from listeners. So this could be a relatively short episode. I have a couple questions from Kirk, who supplies questions almost for every episode. Thank you, Kirk. He said, "Have you placed your pre-order yet? And if so, what stands out this month?" Well, you can listen to me talk in great detail in the comic book page preview spotlight about what I picked. Now, there was a lot more that I wanted and I'm still getting, but I couldn't record 35 or 45 clips, so I kept it to a relatively small amount of clips. And I may append them to this episode just so you could see how you submit clips to John Mayo and get your picks into a preview spotlight. So I'll tag in some of mine. I picked 2 from DC. I picked Martian Manhunter number 7 because I'm absolutely loving it. Like, it is so world building on Mars, and I don't know, Orlando is tearing it up in this book, and I really, really loved it. And it could be because I just read JLA by Monkey and Kelly. And I read a lot of issues focusing on Martian Manhunter lately. He's even featured quite a bit in Snyder's Justice League. So I've been really into the character, and this is just like hitting that sweet spot. It's like giving me more about that character in grave detail. And it is sort of changing little things in history, but that's fine with me. It all has a reason and a purpose. And I think it pays respect to what happened before it. The other one I'm going to pick is Young Justice number 7. Why would I pick this? I picked it because it is the first appearance of Tim Drake's new identity. So he's not going to be Robin anymore. He's not going to be Red Robin. He's going to be given a new identity. The reason I found out about this is a speculator site, and I can't remember which speculator site it was, but I found it. And I said, I gotta put it out there. I gotta case speculators want to hoard them, people need to go get their previews and pre-order this sucker. The Marvel, I picked Timely's Greatest Golden Age with Jack Kirby and Simon and Kirby. I don't have a lot of old Captain America Golden Age, and this will scratch that itch. I have read several because they're available on Marvel Unlimited. If you want to go read some old All Star Squad. What are they called? Young Hero. I can't remember those. They're All Winter Squad. Sorry, All Winter Squad or what is the other one? Young Allies. I can't remember what the other one is. Or you could read Captain America. They have a lot of the first few issues, so that's really cool. This is an omnibus. So where I love Kirby's art is very later in the 70s, and when he got like past 75 or so of Fantastic Four, maybe a little earlier than that, he started refining his art so it looked more like what you see in the Fourth World from DC. And but I have grown to appreciate what has come before that. Like his style changed dramatically, but I have preferences, but I still love the man and I'll follow his career anywhere. And I think this will give me an opportunity to delve more in to his artwork that's not digital. And I'll be able to open up a book and experience it instead of experiencing it in panels on a browser. That's not good. So that's why I picked that. On page 272, I picked the Mark of Zorro hardcover because if you've been listening to this, I've been really into Zorro lately. And what this is this is a bunch of movie stuff and paraphernalia. It even comes with the first DVD of the first Mark of Zorro. I've only watched the 1974 version on, so I've watched every Zorro movie from 1974 on, but this is going even farther back. It comes with that in the deluxe format, and then it's a hardcover. It comes with a lot of his animated features, all kinds of different appearances, everything about him. So I picked that. I'm really excited about that. And on the next page is Zorro versus Cthulhu. So from American mythology, I'm getting those. And like I said, this is just touching. There was a lot more, and I didn't want to overlap with John Mayo's preview spotlight. People put their stuff up on his forum on what they're going to cover, and there was already a lot of people covering things that I wanted to cover. So I kept it to what I that I kept it to what I wanted that wasn't already covered. I didn't want to cover it. And when I cover books, I don't read the solicit. I tell you how I feel about something because anybody could read a solicit. You could go online and read the solicit. But what else do we got here? Roman Ritual. Bill and I have loved Amigo Comics, and Roman Ritual has been our favorite horror book from Amigo. He's one of the horror writers in today's world that actually could write something scary and disturbing to me. And the first one we absolutely loved, but nobody writes horror like El Torres, and there's going to be the second volume. The first one was in 2014. It ran four issues, came out with the collected edition. I loved it so much. I bought the four issues, I read them as they came out, and then I bought the collected edition as well. So that was one of my picks. I picked Laurel and Hardy number one. It's another Laurel and Hardy. They just mean a lot to me. A lot of times when I was a kid, we'd go to these KOA camps and we'd sit down and watch. They'd have like this old projector screen back in the day, and this is in the 70s. We didn't have money to stay at hotels. We just went to our Apache camper. We towed it in back of our. At that time, it was a Maverick, sometimes, but my dad had this yellow Ford pickup, and we'd take the camper back there, and we stay at KOA camps, and we really liked these KOA camps. They were fun as a kid. They usually had a centerpiece where you would have the restrooms and showers and stuff, and then they'd have like an arcade with pinball machines and Space Invaders and all kinds of cool games. And then at night, they would usually have like a marshmallow cookout thing, and you'd go there, and then they'd have like old movies. And a lot of movies I saw there, I just have fond memories. They showed a lot of Laurel and Hardy. So when I was young, you just have like fondness for certain things. And I just remember sitting in front of the campfire and the projector going, and we were watching old Laurel and Hardy movies and laughing. So when they come out in comics, and I have been trying to get like St. John's, I have a few St. John's from the 40s publications of Laurel Hardy. I have the DC Laurel and Hardy. I've been filling in as much Laurel and Hardy as I possibly can. And I bought the Blu-ray, I haven't watched it yet, of the Laurel and Hardy movie that just was out in, I think it was late 2018. That I never got to go to the theater to see. It was only showing like at one theater here, and I never got down to that theater. If it was at our theater, I would have definitely gone to that particular movie because I just love them. But I did buy the Blu-ray, and I will check it out very soon. That was another pick I picked. I picked Catalyst Prime 7 Days because this is going to be amazing. Gail Simone is finally... she was like the editor-in-chief hired, and now she's taking this crossover event. It looks like they're putting their books, ongoing books, on hiatus as this event comic comes out. And I think we're getting about 2 a month. And it's going to be a weekly series. Do you want to go out or do you want to go in? Go on. Go on. Make up your mind. I want to close the door. Okay. I can't guess what you want. You knock, I open the door. I'm trained, I'm conditioned, Harley. And then you don't go outside. Well, you're going to condition me not to open the door. Catalyst Prime by Gail Simone. I love everything Gail Simone has done. Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman. Everything she's written, Domino, Conan, Red Sonja, anything that she's touched, I pretty much really enjoy her writing. Secret Six. There's just her style and world building of the characters. I just absolutely love. The only thing I think I have never read of hers is Deadpool, and it's just because I usually stay away from Deadpool. For whatever reason, I do like Gwenpool, which is really weird. I think that's all the ones that I highlighted, but there were like a ton of stuff in there. I mean, I get most Marvel, like 80% Marvel, every DC comic, no matter what it is, even if it's Zoom and Ink and Kids, I get it. All the Vertigo. I'm all in and Aftershock. I get most of Zenoscope. American Mythology, I'm like, shoot. With the exception of Stargate, I get almost everything. Pink Panther, Underdog, I'm getting all that. Casper, all the Casper books. Action Lab, Danger Zone, I get 80% of what they publish. All of Aftershock, I already said that. Image, I'm probably in the 70 to 80 percentile of all the books they get. What else? Lion Forge, I'm all in on Catalyst Prime and the Magnetic stuff. I usually get all the Magnetic translated books. What else am I missing? Probably several other publishers, but those are the main ones. A Boom, probably about 4 to 5 titles a month from Boom, because there's a lot of kid stuff there that I don't get. Dynamite, I'm probably in the 80 to 90 percentile of everything they get. I just order it all. So when I do these preview spotlights, I just try to focus on little keys that I'm getting. Try to think of anything else like publishing wise that I get. it talked about a dark horse. I don't know, maybe it that's dwindled since they've lost a lot of their properties, but it's probably like 6 to 7 titles a month from Dark Horse that I get. I am going back and revisiting a lot of their 90s series. I'm wanting to read them. And at some point, I want to finish my Comics Greatest World. I'm pretty close. I mean, there's probably some barbed wire and ghost I need, and there might be a few of the others, but I have probably 80% of it. I'm missing sort of more books towards the tail end of their properties, like later issues of Ghosts or Barbed Wire. Those are probably the two most popular books that came out of their Comics Greatest Worlds. So that's it for previews. I hope that answers your question. What else did you say? Are you ready for Heroes Con? Not really. It seems like I just got back from C2E2, but I am ready. It's gonna be very different for me because I usually go with what I call the posse. Daryl Taylor, Chris Campbell, me, Alan. I mean, there's so many of us. M-Bats, sometimes Keith. There's just quite a few of us that hang out that over the years that, Bill Bomer usually goes. So this year's gonna be different because I'm not sure who's all going. I as far as my really inner circle, I'm not sure, but I will see you there, Kirk, and you better not hide from me like you did last year. You better be there, so I could see you. I at least know what you look like, I think. Will you record a travel episode with old Ben as he tells you stories of comic shopping in Tallahassee? If I ever get back to Mike's M's weekly reads, I mean not weekly reads, but Collector's Corner, I would like to. I haven't had time to do that. A matter of fact, I barely had time to do this one. So maybe in the fall I'll start doing that show again. And can we go to Jack in the Box in Charlotte? I prefer not to. I don't like to go to chains. If I'm traveling, I like to go experience the restaurants that are there locally because I have a Jack in the Box. So I don't want to go to something that I have in Colorado Springs. Let's see. You asked, did you see the 100-page issue of Exciting Comics? Yes, I'm in. That's another publisher. I get, with the exception of like their Gold Digger and their manga type titles, I'm almost all in on Antarctic Press now. So, yeah, I just check the box, check it all. And especially these ones that are reliving like the Golden Age horror titles or the superhero titles, I'm there. Have you ever considered setting up a booth at a show near a professional grading service offering bar busting the case? No, because I don't think there's a demand for that. I think we're in the rare. We're rare in busting cases. I think people want them in CGC boxes at conventions, and matter of fact, that there's only three people that I know that do this. Chris Campbell will tear out his CGC graded books. I tear out mine. I like the fact that I could get a graded book and then have that graded book, but I read it. I open it. They need to be with their family and other books. I don't want this big ass fucking plastic thing that seals the book. I don't want that. I want a comic to be experienced. I want those pages to be smelled. I want to experience the page turn. I want to experience the art. I just don't want a cover image. I could print a cover image of a comic and put it in a frame if I want to. It's not the same. So that's how I feel about CGC and CBCS and PGX and all that crap. I think they provide a valuable service, so I can get the grade I want or similar to the grade, because they're all graded by people that have standards, but they're all going to grade different. Let's get real. I mean, just a good example is Aaron Myers. So he grades some books, but he took advantage of a CGC offering that says if you have a other graded company, we'll give you a discount and we'll regrade your book. And I follow him pretty religiously on Twitter, and I looked at these books, and I'd say about half were downgraded and half of them were upgraded. I was really surprised to see an upgrade from a PGX to that, but that's what it was. He was sending in PGX books, and there were about half of them seemed to be downgraded. Maybe a 60% seemed downgraded, but there was that 40% that was upgraded. I was really surprised. Really surprised. So maybe PGX isn't that bad, because they were still in the ballpark. They have a bad bias towards them, saying they grade books too high. Maybe that's not the case. If this little experiment that Aaron did. Do you think it would be wrong to go start a GoFundMe to buy a commission from Peepoy? I don't think it would be wrong. I wouldn't contribute to it. I'd get a commission for myself or some back issues. Matter of fact, my next order is going to be so fun. I am focusing on... Oh, man. I got to give you a glimpse of what I'm trying to complete. But there's some things that I saw on Dark Horse speculation sites, because there's a theory that more Dark Horse properties are going to start being acquired by Netflix. And there was a handful of them that I was interested in. And I don't want to say what they are yet, because I haven't placed my order. But I want to experience these books. They looked really interesting to me. So I'm putting them on my tab here, and Aster was something I found in that Vantage magazine. I'm going to get more Anarchy Studios. I'm impressed with what I read. I'm looking to complete some of my Fighting Americans, not the Golden Age, but things that are after that. Gen 13, a lot of Image. I'm getting one GI Combat, a huge focus on Supreme, looking to knock those out. Another Dark Horse book I don't want to talk about because it's speculation. Some more issues of Megaton. Midnight Suns and Morbius are some of the books that I want to get. Some old issues of Previews. Wanted to get Certain Years that I threw away by accident. Some crossovers with Prophet that I don't own. Shadowhawk, looking to complete that. A crossover, I saw this on Vantage magazine and it looked really interesting. Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Star Trek Next Generation. And what this was an intercompany crossover, which is even more interesting. Malibu was crossing over with DC, and DC was crossing over with Malibu. So they, because one owned the rights to Next Gen and Malibu had Deep Space Nine. A book called Stigmata that I just randomly found. A lot of Supreme. I'm looking to complete my trencher. I just needed X-Men bites. There was one issue of Siphons I was missing and Team Anarchy. And there was an Ashcan version of Ultra Force, which was a different cover that I didn't have, even though I have a full run of Ultraverse. I wanted to add this to my list. Union and Vanguard Illustrated. Looking to complete my Wildcats. So a lot, very image focused this time. So that's what some of the focus is going to be on. I'm going to take a quick look at a question that Nick gave me from a long time ago and I forgot to answer. And this one will be tough because I'm kind of, it's been a while since I've did G.I. Joe or read G.I. Joe, even though I get the Real American Hero. Let me talk a little bit about G.I. Joe. When I was growing up, never got the toys, never was interested. My brother had a few. I was kind of getting out of toys at the time that Transformers and G.I. Joe came. Stopping to watch, didn't watch the cartoons. I didn't catch on to G.I. Joe until much later. IDW acquired it. And I started getting it there, and I started to buy the hardcovers that collected the older issues. And then my brother sold me his early issues. So my brother had like 1 through, I don't know, 25 or 30, because he would get G.I. Joe because he liked it. And he kind of sold me those issues, so I now own those. So I own the hardcovers of the original series, but IDW reprinted. And then I got into all their stuff, especially the Mike Costa stuff, which was Cobra. So if you say my top five G.I. Joe characters, I have to just set the stage. Like I wasn't exposed to the toys. I watched all the movies that weren't animated. And I've enjoyed them, the two movies or three movies that they've had so far. Those I've enjoyed. But it's mostly been the IDW books, and I have read a lot of Larry Hama IDW because they continued that series from Marvel, and I've enjoyed those. They're very different, but they read like that time, and it's a cool. I love the way he plots. It's just like. They just lots of crazy shit happens in one issue. It's the best way to describe it. But I'm gonna pick my number one based on Mike Costa run. Chuckles. He was a big player in that Cobra series. He was infiltrating the two twins. I'm gonna have to look these guys up. Tomax and I can't remember. Tomax and Zamot. I'm gonna pick them too because they were freaking amazing. So those are that takes me. I'm gonna treat them as one because they were twins. So number one is Chuckles. Number two is those is them. I'm gonna have to go with Snake Eyes as number three because I don't know. He's just too iconic, and a lot of stories focus around him, even though he doesn't say much vocally. If at all. And then the other ninja, of course, Storm Shadow. I'd have to go with that. So you go with those guys. Who else would I pick? Oh, the Baroness for sure. I love the Baroness. So that would be my top five G.I. Joe characters. Probably very different from a lot of other characters, except maybe Snake Eyes is pretty freaking popular, and so is Storm Shadow. So I think they would show up on a lot of people's lists, but other than that, I don't think you'd get Chuckles or the twins unless they read Cobra. So that was an off-the-cuff question. Your top five comic book robots. Okay, I didn't even re read this one, so I'm gonna do this off the cuff. Oh, Vision has to be on there. Red Tornado has to be on there. Gonna include the Metal Men is an entire have to be on there just as one. The Human Torch, the original Human Torch. He was an android, so I'd put him in the on there from the Invaders. And who would be my last one? I know I'm missing somebody that I absolutely love. Robot Man from Doom Patrol. So that's my off the cuff. Cuff. If you ask me a year from now, I'll probably get Vision and Red Tornado right, and Robot Man. But the other two might change. So that's my list. Rank them the top five comic book characters, masks, helmets, or cowls. Mr. Miracle's gonna be there. As a mask or Yellow Jacket. Absolutely love Yellow Jacket. His headpiece. That would have to be there. Firestorm. Just gotta love the way his mask goes to the top and then has the flame out of it. Amazing look. Go with Firestorm as one of my top five. I know I'm missing some key costumes or cowls or if I looked at a library of action figures or I'm gonna go with Gwenpool. Even though it's a knockoff of Deadpool, I really like the open mouthpiece and the way she wears this bright red lipstick, and she always is just like smiling. I love it, and it's my favorite Marvel Legends figure. I pose her in my office, like in different positions. I have her running from Wolverine right now at my in my work office. It looks really cool. She's got her swords and she's just running, like, and Wolverine's chasing her with the claws. So I would say that's one of my top cowls, even though it's like a knockoff of something else we've seen before. I do like the pink and white. Oh gosh, I know Mr. Miracle's my top, but I know I'm missing somebody key, and I'm gonna regret it later. I'll go with Bronze Age Red Tornado. I've always loved that little arrow that comes down, and he had this cape that kind of went up in the air. Like his cape is like a vampire cape, if you will. And it goes around his costume as he's spinning. I like it. So, yeah, I'll go with Red Tornado. Man, I know I'm missing somebody I absolutely love. No, let's get rid of Red Tornado and let's go with Big Barda. That headpiece is awesome. Awesome design by Jack Kirby. And you have Mr. Miracle and Big Barda there. So those will be the picks for the masks, helmets, and cowls. Let me know what you guys think of your top five G.I. Joes, top five comic book robots slash IA, AI, IA. Matter of fact, A1 is his name. 1A or one? Magnus, the robot fighter, had a robot that trained him. Is it 1A or A1? I can't remember. But he didn't make it. But that was another good one. Or your top five masks, helmets, or cowls. Let me know. Tweet at me at Mike Myers Brunch. And that'll wrap it up for the questions for this week. And let's get down to some weekly reads. I've skipped a lot of months, so let me get focused. And I haven't been reading a lot. There's just been a lot of crap going on. And I've been doing more maintenance than I have been reading. But the next couple of weeks will be different. At least until Heroes, and then I'll go on a drive spell again. But let's start the week of March 18th through March 24th. We have Conan, Dark Horse, number 7 through 9. I'm rereading this in a Marvel Epic Collection, but let's give credit to Dark Horse because that's where it was originally published. Conan, after leaving Hyperborea, goes after Aesir traitors and kills them. He is now off to Nymedia. The Widowmaker goes after Dion Pyrianus and kills him and a slew of his men. Then there is an issue where a prince that found King Conan's chronicles wants his wazir to tell him of Conan's childhood. That was a really good issue, just a done in one. He tells the story of young Conan on how he was the center of the kids, and one stronger kid tried to kill him and didn't like him, and his father almost made him not like Conan's father. He didn't like, and he didn't like the son, obviously. So, like father, like son, he tried to kill Conan. And because his father hated Conan. He shows how he was born in battle. Conan later is in a bar listening to two braggarts and ends up taking them out and their money. That was pretty funny. He frames the braggarts and soldiers take them away because they wanted to get credit for what Conan was doing, and they were bragging about it. Even though Conan knew he did it, well, he knew the soldiers were after him, so he said, yeah, those are the guys, and they arrested the two guys that didn't have anything to do with it, but were bragging like they did. And then some scrawny dude at the end of the issue hires Conan because he knows what's really going on. So there were only three issues I read that week. Pretty damn pathetic. So let's go to the next week. And there was only a total of 17. This was March 25th through March 31st. And we'll start at the bottom. Oh, the Conans were rated 4 out of 5s, by the way. We'll start at the bottom at the 3 out of 5s. The bottom 3 out of 5 was Heroes in Crisis, number 7. A fight scene between Harley and Booster. Booster's shield is powered by Beetle, so Batgirl knocks him the fuck out. There's a scene with Wally and Poison Ivy and some therapy session with Wally West. Harley could have killed Booster, but does not. And Batman and Barry are trying to track down Booster and Beetle. To try to figure out what's going on. The next 3 out of 5 is Venom Separation Anxiety. I was reading this one in the Omnibus, which I'm almost done with. And Venom is transferred to a government facility. Eddie is separated from the symbiote. The symbiotes in Lethal Protector set him free, along with the reporter who is trying to get a story on Venom and Scarlet Spider. And he's the same guy that was in the Clone Saga, if you read he's the same reporter. Venom tries to kill the other symbiotes instead of helping them as requested. So these are the ones that are featured in Lethal Protector, and now they're back. They want his help and try to learn to coexist with the symbiote and not lose control. That's what they want, is help. They figure like they're losing their identity and that Eddie will be able to help them, but he wants nothing to do with them. So that's Venom Separation Anxiety 1 and 2 from Marvel Comics. We get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Black Hawk 254. This was an amazing issue. Domino captures Black Hawk and Hitler sets up a trap for the rest of the team, but Olaf fires the bazooka backwards and gets them out of a strange predicament. Turns out Stan is not a good second in command. He's another Black Hawk. And then there's a backup story with Chuck. We then have a comic book from Valiant / Windjammer, Nighthawk number 1. And this one was interesting. because it was originally supposed, I even have the solicit in Advance Comics, was originally supposed to be published in continuity and never came out in continuity. But later on, Valiant was looking for creator-owned properties, so they picked up some Neil Adams property, Valerea, She-Bat, I think, and Nighthawk was one of them. They took us, they did some Star Slayer and one other property, and they reprinted them as Windjammer Comics. And this is Nighthawk, which is a very interesting character. I've read some more about him. And I've just completed his run, by the way. He's a vigilante with rings and guns and just destroys an orphanage going after some people that are kidnapping white children. And they're selling them to people that want to adopt kids. So I really think this was it is still a legit problem. And I know people go out of the country to do this because I have some coworkers that do that. So I have one coworker that wanted kid, they couldn't have kids, and they went to Mexico to get kids, and they got three of them. And another couple that wanted kids, but they wanted some white kids and they couldn't find young kids. So they went to Russia to adopt these kids. Well, that's what this Nighthawk was about. It was about people that, except this one had like this orphanage, and this woman was stealing white kids at a very young age and then selling them off to adoptive, like it was a legitimate adoption. So I don't know if the people that were adopting the kids really knew what was going on, but Nighthawk accused them as if, you know, when he broke in there and started busting shit up, he was like, I know what you all doing, and busted them up. And the two parents were, no, we're innocent. And he goes, nah, you knew what was going on. But he let them go, and he basically brought down that whole kidnap ring. Then a military unit invades the lab, which Nighthawk's alter ego works at, and kills the scientist he works at, and steals like this clone that's in this tube. And later on, you'll know what that is, because I read issue 2, so I kind of know what's happening. Web of Spider-Man, number 118 and 119, Spider-Man 52 and 53. These are rereads, believe it or not. They're in the Venom Omnibus, volume 1. And I just read these in the Clone Saga Omnibus, but I said, you know what? I'm reading this Venom book. I want to read all the sequential appearances. I need to re-experience these stories. So Spider-Man 52 and 53 and Spider-Man 118, 119, Ben goes to New York to see about Aunt May's condition as she's in a coma. Venom is in New York because he's going after Carnage as he recently escaped. Ben comes up with a new costume and contact webbing and defeats Venom, and that's where he meets the reporter, and the reporter's like, you gotta be Scarlet Spider. So he gives him the name. Kraven's son is going after the Scarlet Spider, and Venom really hurt Ben, but luckily the neighbor helps him out. The symbiote from Lethal Protector is trying to get help from him, but he tries to kill her. It was my second read because it was also part of the Clone Saga Omnibus, and that same woman that was trying to get help in these books shows up in Venom Separation Anxiety, so it led right into the story. The next is a Marvel comic. It's Age of Conan Bellit. I don't know how to pronounce it. I originally discovered Bellit, I believe, when Brian Wood was writing for Dark Horse. And I remember it distinctively because I was in Pergosa Springs, which was a hot springs, and we were on vacation. We had a blast there. I saw Winter Soldier there, in this real retro old theater. They have like one that was made in the 40s or 50s, and they haven't torn it down. And I saw it, and the sound was really shitty, but it was a good experience, even for a deaf person like myself. But anyway, I remember reading a lot. I took like three bags full of Conan, and I just read through them, and that was my first exposure to this character. And Balit is anxious to find sea monsters and does not like when pirates don't respect her father. One day, her father is captured and is going to be killed by as a pirate. Balit tries to rescue her father, but he does not want to be rescued and wants to die for what he did. She swears to be a better pirate than her father. A slave ship captures her, and she is rescued by pirates and becomes part of that team. When she has this fascination with sea monsters, so she's obviously going in that direction. It's Mace. It's her trying to be like her father, but her father always treated her well, and she looked up to him. And now he's being condemned for things that he did in the past. And he knew if he did not die on that island where she was going to free him from, that they would have more potential to hurt his daughter. And I think that's why he just said, "Let me die." The next books I have are from DC Comics. I covered on DC Spotlight with Kyle. We got Terrifics 10 through 13 in Annual Number 1. Java uses the T-Sphere. Java is the caveman kind of assistant to Stag, and he's sort of in love with Rex Mason's girl. But doesn't show it, and he comes up with this identity of Dr. Dredd, which is kind of like a Dr. Doom knockoff. And even when Lemire was doing this, he was talking about, well, this is the Fantastic Four, so it makes sense that you would have a corresponding Dr. Doom. They originally think it is Stag doing all the bad stuff, but it is actually Java. So Rex no longer has his powers, so he tries to live a normal life and get a job, and he realizes he has to destroy the Orb of Ra. Plastic Man visits Angel and his son, and that goes horribly bad. Phantom Girl goes back home, and the mother is making her dress like royalty and wants her to have her wed. Mr. Terrific decides to go after Java through the multiverse and finds out he is killing all the other versions of Mr. Terrific himself, basically. And forms the Dreadfuls, which are multiverse versions of the Terrifics. He is captured and calls for help, and Metamorpho becomes powered up again, and the team is reunited, and Plas brings his son Offspring, along with the help of Tom Strong's daughter, to confront the Dreadfuls and save Mr. Terrific and his wife. Who is Mr. Terrific on another multiverse? The annual deals with a great story about Java's backstory as a caveman and give you some empathy towards the current situation. This last story is about Tom Strong defeating an elder god in the dark multiverse who Java later brings back to battle the Terrifics in the monthly series. So that's what the annual does, and so it builds up like Java's perspective. And it's very weird that this book's sort of in timely with Heroes in Crisis, because Gnark is also a caveman that's featured, and they give some backstory in Heroes in Crisis, kind of like this book. So that was the last 4 out of 5. We get into Black Hawk 253 was a 5 out of 5. I love this issue so much that focused on Hendrickson, the letters to his dead wife to feel the relevance, the dramatic ending with him talking about the enemy Ace Durbusad in a gunfight and finding out he was also writing letters to his wife. It was pretty powerful because the way it was told through letters to Hendrix he's the older Black Hawk. He was writing letters to his wife, and she's dead. So the Black Hawks thought he was a spy and sending letters somewhere else. And then originally they're like, oh, he's crazy because he's sending them to his dead wife. And then it kind of all made sense once they find out. They thought he was senile and writing letters to his dead wife, but he's not. Also shows that how the Blackhawks would ignore Hendrick's recommendations. In this case, he was right about how the enemy planes were refueling, and this ace that was actually shooting down a lot of their planes, and he ended up killing him. And that's when he found out that he was writing letters to his dead wife as well. So it was a really powerful issue. Power Shazam number 8. Theo Adams breaks Captain Nazi out of prison. Captain Nazi drops Theo, and Captain Marvel Jr. saves him, and a mysterious lady offers to get his voice back. That's the Theo Adam, Black Adam. The Marvel family confronts Captain Nazi. Freddy's uncle is now dead because of Captain Nazi. The opening has a flashback with Spymaster, Bullet Man, and Minuteman as they try to prevent Captain Nazi from stealing a preservation chamber. In the future, Captain Nazi goes back to the ship to get the chamber holding Adolf Hitler, but he's already dead. In the future, the World War II heroes are being interviewed on Wiz Radio. Really fantastic issue. Highly recommend it. It's available on DC Universe. If you have the app, check out Power of Shazam. So that is the wrapping up March. And then I'm also going to do, I think, one more. We got April 1st through April 7th of 2019. We had a total of 26 books, a little bit better. We had 4 Marvel, 1 Impact, 8 DC, 12 books from C2E2. I didn't write down their publishers. And they were Antarctic Press. And these are publishers that didn't solicit their books through previews. So you would have to get them from a con or from their own individual websites. Start at the 3 out of 5s. We had Offbeats from Antarctic Press. This was a Tintin crossed with Tarantino. That's what it's advertised at. The character rescues a woman from getting attacked and is beat up to a pulp. A brother and sister save him but are involved in something fishy where she is a stripper and there is someone after her. So they actually rescue this character that needed rescue, take him back to the apartment and try to fix him up. I don't know what their motive is other than trying to do something just to fix somebody that was beaten up. I gotta go switch my diet Dr. Pepper with water because I am out and I need to take one to work tomorrow. The next one is Kinetic 1 through 8, and this was me and Bill were going down one of the aisles, and just striking covers is really what sold this guy's book, and he kind of gave us his pitch. I bought 8 issues of it, and I thought it was good. It taught me a lot from my own book. I thought it was good for me to read this. A hero rescues a woman on the bad side of town and realizes he has kinetic powers to fight crime. He flashes back to high school where he first realizes he has these abilities. His friend who wants to be his girlfriend makes him an earpiece comm device. After many issues and brush-ins with the cops, he finally takes down the Gentleman Killer. And the Gentleman Killer is kind of like a Jack the Ripper serial killer. He also has a run-in with a sender who finally lets him have the South Side. He's like a competing hero on the North Side. It's a simple story and concept, but overall a fun series. I give it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have from Marvel Comics, the Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis Vision. So when he was over at Marvel for the very short stint, he did this miniseries in 1939. There is a Tomorrow Fair where Professor Horton wants to show reporters his artificial intelligence robot. It sort of malfunctions, but there is a Nazi that wants to recruit him. And that obviously, you know, Professor Horton's like, I'm not going to be recruited by no Nazi. The Nazi steals part of the brain technology on what would become the Vision. They use this technology to kill Americans, and Horton spends the rest of his life trying to get it back. Now, in the current time, the Vision finally wakes up. He does not remember much at this point in time, and a young boy and his father and Horton's niece work together to stop the gremlin in the current time. So that is what Vision 1 through 4 is about. We then get another C2E2 book. This is from the artist that does Shanghai Red. Rebel Gun number 1 opens as a hero in the desert about to die and then flashes back to the past where the hero is looking for work at a diner as some type of hitman. He gets a job but finds it insulting, so follows another guy out to the restaurant and finds out he's mixed in a sex drug ring. He kills the guy as a vigilante and kills the others that are involved. The last guy is on to him and gets the upper hand until the main hero pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. A stray bullet hits the cabinet and kills the captive woman. So he was out trying to rescue these women that were sold off to the sex drug trafficking ring, and he accidentally killed her. He goes home depressed because he killed an innocent, but someone kills the killer and then chloroforms him, and that's how it ends. So he's actually knocked out. And that's kind of, you get like one of those flash forwards at the beginning of the issue, you kind of see him out of it. Well, that's what got him to that point. And there were supposed to be follow-on issues, but he said he doesn't know if there ever will be one. This is one of his first works. So he probably didn't make a lot of money, other than me and Bill both bought a copy. It was like a $5 book, but it was really good, really professionally done. And he did the writing and the art and the coloring, so he did a hell of a lot. Green Arrow, The Longbow Hunters 2 and 3. This is Shadow is killing the drug corporation for revenge. Ollie is after them after they had captured Dinah and almost killed her through torture. It almost looked like they were going to rape her too, but it was not implied that they maybe didn't do that. They didn't get that far. Ollie is back to killing with his arrows. They take down the drug corporation, and Dinah is on the path to recovery. The corporation hired Eddie Fries, if you remember him, and Ollie shot him when he was trying to kill Shadow. We have Neon Future. This is from Impact Comics. Also picked this up at C2E2. Also picked up the issue from DCBS Service. They gave one of the issues for free. They had a big display there at C2E2. The global recession due to technology causes a fracture between the return pro-tech and the authentic, which is anti-tech. Somewhere in the middle is the Neon Future, who think both can coexist at the same time. Kita Sovi steals a dead body of Clay Campbell, who was an authentic. He brings him back to life, and now he has the tech as the facility is invaded by Major Ease to take down the tech. So it's a battle between the pro-tech and the anti-tech in the future. I really enjoyed it. Secrets and Shadows number 1 through 3. This was a C2E2 John Parrish book. A father has two sons and is a hero called Black Sun. Our main character is his son, and he's in therapy because he hates his father. He works as a dishwasher. The other son is taking his father's spot as a hero, where the father is drinking his way into the future because he lost his wife to a villain. It kind of opens up like Starman. If you remember Starman, the original Starman, Ted Knight, had a son that kind of took his place, and he got killed in the Zero issue or first issue. And Jack had to take the role unwillingly. Jack didn't want to be a hero. This sort of what that is. I think the main character is a phantom-based character who can turn bodies to sand. The father and his son have to some dark secrets that might not make them look heroic. They look like heroes in the public eye, but when you find out what is going on behind the scenes, they might not be heroic. The other son meets up with the character that is turning bodies into sand. We then get into the last 4 out of 5, Aquaman 28 through 30. This is Rebirth. Dolphin and Aquaman defeat Kadaver, Vulko, and Ondine. Try to go through the Elder Ghosts in order to pass them. They must call out their names. Tempest and Mera are using magic to get back to Atlantis. Crush finds out Aquaman is alive and wants to report it to King Wrath. Dolphin wants Arthur to be king again, but he does not want to. She convinces him to be a hero, though. Mera and Tempest confront Loke and his magisters, and Tempest leads them away and gives a totem to Mera and gets her into Atlantis. The totem is damaged and Mera needs air to breathe and is captured by King Shark. There's a lot going on in here. Aquaman and Mera join a rebel group to defeat King Wrath. Vulko and Ondine get to the chamber, you know, past the ghosts with the help of one of the elder ghosts that Vulko knew in the past. The Resistance and Vulko meet up. Commander Murk kills Crush and then is trying to report that Aquaman is alive to King Wrath. A lot of stuff going on with Aquaman 28 through 30. So there's a lot of three issues and a lot happened. Final Crisis 1 through 3. This was an amazing reread on... I loved it more than the second time that I read it than the first. I read this on DC Universe online, even though I have the singles. Rather than dig them out, I just started reading. Orion is found with a bullet hole in him. It is a mystery to find out who killed him. Libra is a villain trying to reunite the players underneath him. He kills Martian Manhunter for the Human Flame, who's a villain. Super young team getting slammed by older hero Rising Star publicly. Mr. Miracle and Sonny Sumo reunite to find out the killer. Darkseid and his followers appear to be in human disguises in the Darkseid Club. The return of Barry into the DC Universe as Wally and Jay try to find out the killer. A love letter to Kirby. That's just my own note. That's like a love letter to Kirby. Also has Turpin trying to figure out who is kidnapping kids. It turns out that Darkseid is giving the kids to Granny Goodness. Libra promises to get Superman out of Lex's hair and blows up the Daily Planet. Lois is in the hospital with others, and Clark is with her, so Superman is out of the picture. One of the monitors, Nyx, is sentenced to Earth to exist as a normal human being. Bloodhaven is destroyed, and the Atomic Knights are going with Wonder Woman in Bloodhaven. One of the knights is killed by the evil Mary Marvel, and Wonder Woman is assimilated. Hal Jordan is wanted for killing by the Guardians and dispatched the Alpha Lanterns after him. At Command D, Command D. They have captured Command D and Mr. Simeon and Mr. Mokari are torturing Prince Tufton, who's also a character from Command D. And Batman. They're torturing Batman as well. Alan Scott tries to round up a group based on what has happened to deal with the impending doom. Absolutely loved it. 5 out of 5. And that wraps up the issues. The 5 out of 5s again were Final Crisis 1 through 3, Black Hawk 253, and Power of Shazam number 8. All DC comics, all old comics, none of them new. So those were the 3 weeks worth of titles, and those were how everything ranked. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for the questions, Kirk. And you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. Or you can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's M-Y-E-R-S. Facebook, you can go to Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button, and follow all the episode threads there, or you can just follow me on Twitter. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave comments there as well. I will approve them and get them answered on the show or read them out on the show, depending on how long it is. So I want to thank you for listening, and I am getting ready to go to sleep. I am really tired. But I want to bag and board some comics before bed. And I got a lot of reading to do for some podcasts this weekend. But I don't think I'm going to do any tonight. So I want to thank you for listening. Peace out. And don't get all stressed out because Uncanny X-Men is renumbering. It happens all the time. Just chill out. Hickman will do a good job, just like the people before him. and things will go on. The world is not going to end because of a renumbering or a relaunch. Just roll with it. Enjoy the stories. The stories always matter, and each story leads from one to another. And just have fun. That's all my messages. I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye.